Whatever happened to all of the heroes, all the Shakespeareos, they watched their Rome burn. That line from the title track of the second album, the follow-up to British quirky punk band The Stranglers' debut, Radicus Norvegus, the No More Heroes album released 44 years ago this week, September 23rd, 1977. The Stranglers were an odd bunch, and they stood out from any other punk band of the time, incorporating swirling electronic keyboards, mostly courtesy of the late Dave Greenfield. He added a bit of a progressive rock and operatic feel to their music. The band I have on this edition of Local Loft, episode 192, Legacy Black, certainly a mixed bunch amongst metal bands nowadays. You won't expect any grunting, heavy, full-throated, unclean vocals from this band. Sophisticated, operatic-like vocal delivery and very progressive feel. It's not just metal, folks. It actually dabbles in classic rock. You can think of bands like Kansas, Styx, yes. And if they were a metal band, they'd sound a little heavier, but certainly just as majestic. And this weekend, they're co-headlining a show with Fierce Atmospheres, the old-school melodic metal band led by the driving, emotional vocals of Taryn DePavlos and the guitar work of Eric Goslin. Both bands will play Danvern's Tavern in Justice on Saturday, September 25th. I'm going to introduce you to Legacy Black via their singer, Clint. As I once had trouble identifying the Stranglers back in the day before I truly knew who they were, I will have trouble, I know, identifying this band because their lead singer goes by an alias, Tyrant Nathra. His real name is Clint. And he will be calling in to tell us about what Legacy Black is all about. Now again, if you're a fan of old school metal, you'll appreciate this more than maybe your modern new metal with a lot of unclean vocals and screaming and grunting and low-throated droning. Originally when they began, they could easily be classified amongst the many hair metal bands that were dominating the scene in the mid to late 80s. But Enough's Enough really changed their tone in the mid 90s. Sounding more psychedelic and Beatlesque, Chip's Enough, not only the way he sounded singing-wise, but the way he looked was often compared to John Lennon. And now the band has resurfaced with Chip and Donnie V along for some but not all of the tracks of their brand new project, which does include a cover of one of John Lennon's first solo hits, Cold Turkey. Enough's Enough has been sidelined by several different COVID restriction issues, but the band is returning to their native soil where they grew up and where they first got together. Blue Island, opening not for any John Lennon or Beatle tribute or sound-alike band, but Tesla. Had a pretty substantial hit with a cover of a British obscure new wave band's only hit, PhD's Little Susie's on the Up. Tesla is playing Enough's Enough's native Blue Island this weekend, and Enough's Enough will be along for local support. I'll spin you something from Enough's Enough that straddles the line of being a Beatlesque sound-alike. And in our rock back, speaking of something the Beatles helped to invent, power pop, Bishop's Daredevil Stunt Club out of Frankfurt followed a jangly, vocal harmony-dominated Beatle creation known as power pop, while The Who actually came up with the definition, Pete Townsend, if I'm not mistaken. And this week, 6 years ago, Bishop's Daredevil Stunt Club made their debut performance at Reggie's Rock Club, and I was there to capture it all and get the scoop on the band as to why they decided to do a radical change in sound. Local Loft episode 192. The changes will cause you to turn and face and listen to not only the strange, but the familiar in the Chicago metal, punk, prog rock, alt rock, and power pop scene.
Hey everyone, this is Legacy Black. Great friends, good brews, good music. Party time.
Surprise, surprise. As I talk to our next guest here, there's word that a surprise Metallica show is sprouting up at the Metro. Well, the band I have, and I'm going to feature on episode 192 of Local Loft, they have traces of Metallica in them, but it goes way farther back than that. What if James Hetfield's front of Kansas? Let's just make that scenario. They're very progressive. Legacy Black, it's a four-piece band out of Chicago. Their self-titled debut EP came out in the summer of 2019, and they are working on a follow-up. You can see them play live at Danvern's Tavern in Justice this coming Saturday, along with Fierce Atmospheres. I talked to Eric Goslin just two podcasts ago, if you may remember, just before they had their CD release show for their brand new one, Speed of Dreams. But I have Clint on the phone with me, one of the members of Legacy Black. This is pretty old school stuff you guys do here, and it's quite extensive too. And listening to the five tracks on your self-titled debut EP, they go on for a long time, at least instrumentally. Winner of My Discontent, for example, that's like 11 minutes and 45 seconds, and it's mostly instrumental until the vocals kick in here. And writing these songs and putting together, your singer, by the way, is Tyrant Natra, I know that. And he also is the singer of Accuracy. Him and your drummer, Juan, they both dabble or moonlight in those bands, and that's a little more heavy and a little more modern, but this is old school all the way. And putting together songs like these, are they most your instrumental jam sessions, and then you work in the lyrics? How do you come up with these arrangements, these rather complex arrangements for these songs?
Well, first off, thank you very much for having me on the show, I should say. Just to get a couple of things straight right now, I'm Clint, but I am Tyrant Natra is just a pseudonym. I don't use it on the albums or anything like that, but that's me, actually. I play guitars and sing in Legacy Black. In Accuracy, I play guitars and do backing vocals. We actually have a lead vocalist in that band. But myself and Juan, yes, we are in both bands. I appreciate the differences you've noticed between the two bands. As far as your question goes, what we typically do is we kind of get together in a room and, you know, we start working on some riffs, whether it be something that I had laying around or had been messing around with for a few weeks or months. Sometimes even they go years back. It's important that we get it in the room, and then I kind of let everyone else get their hands on. And doing that, we kind of just jam through those things. When I start to get a feeling of at least the style of vocal I would like to use and kind of a bit of the vocal arrangement, I'll most likely just start blurting out gibberish. A lot of times that gibberish, one line may come out of there that will shape the whole song. And I'll write lyrical content revolving around that one line. As a matter of fact, we're doing that right now with some of the newer material we're working on.
Still we try.
Let me ask you about that new material. Is it going to be any different than what people heard on that first record, or is it pretty much going to be the same thing, rather extensive, instrumentally dominated tracks with the operatic, the very majestic vocals here? Is there going to be anything different on this new record?
Always. Yes, there will definitely be some stuff that our listeners will hear that sounds a bit familiar from the other record, but there's definitely going to be some new avenues that we go down. It's always metal, it's always progressive, and it always has undertones of rock and other genres. That's kind of the playbook that we go by, so to speak. We bring in elements of everything, whether it be jazz, blues, soul, rock, metal, whatever we can kind of like fit in there, as long as it's tasteful and we can make it fit into the song in a way that makes sense. That's what is important. And yes, it will be a little bit more of a wider range as far as just from shorter length to still some longer songs, but we hope to have like more of a mixed bag of things this time around.
Have any of you had any vocal training in opera? Because the vocals are quite majestic. While All Along, for example, that starts off with kind of a choir-like feel to it, where your voices just blend very well together. So have you ever been classically trained in any opera singing?
No, I never took any lessons in music in my life. Well, that's a bit of a lie, because I did take 2 years of piano in high school. Other than that, no, I'm a self-taught musician, self-taught vocalist, and also I have to give credit to our keyboardist, Joyce, who also does backing vocals, and every now and then she takes lead as well. She is the person that you hear working with me on those opening parts and while All Along. But yeah, we just kind of throw it out there and see what sticks, to use a tired old phrase like that.
About the shows, what can people expect when they come to see you Saturday night at Danvers? Is this going to be just you guys playing up there, no visuals to kind of augment the music, or how does it go? What can they expect?
Well, it's a basically traditional kind of like band setup. A lot of the bands that we really look up to and that have influenced us throughout all of our lives are bands that tend to rely on just, you know, performing live and putting on a really good show with just the performers themselves. No backing visuals or anything like that, but we always move around. We always try to get the crowd into it, and so far I think we've been pretty successful. So you'll be able to see that, see all of the music performed as it is on the CD, but also sometimes we add a little bit more to it. And we also like to kind of take a page out of some of the more classic bands from the 70s in that way, where you may not get the exact same version that you get on the album, but it is still very true to the original and still, as always, very tasteful.
The one thing that sticks out as far as the 70s influence go for me is the organ.
On
a lot of tracks, it reminds me of Rainbow, Kansas, definitely. It's a nice blend between classic rock and also modern metal here you got going, Clint. Best of luck to you and with the new EP when it comes out, and people are really going to get psyched to see you and also Fierce Atmospheres. And then, of course, yeah. Your other band, Accuracy, they're also playing in November 20th at Reggie's.
Yeah. And that's a big one. That's actually Accuracy and Legacy Black will be playing that night, so I'll be doing double duty. We'll be joined by a band called Death Pop Radio.
I just had Eric Lollihorn from them on a couple of podcasts back in May, so
yeah.
I know very well of them. They're kind of a nice little power pop alternative rock resurgence here. That's going to be a nice mixture of music with the three bands. To find out more about Legacy Black, you can go to their Facebook page. No Dust Records is their label. It's out of Amsterdam. It's a Dutch label that put out their first EP back in July of 2019. So you can go to their website, which is nodustrecords.com, to actually order a copy, a physical copy of this. Clint, forgive me for getting your identity wrong in the first place.
I was looking
at your Facebook page, and it told me very little about you guys. But Clint, the singer and guitarist of Legacy Black, joined us today, and good luck with this, and people will definitely be down there to check you out rocking with alongside Fierce Atmospheres. Thanks a lot again, Clint.
Yeah, thank you for everything that you do, Tim. I really appreciate it.
While all along I was sleeping, I don't know what I was thinking. My life was controlled by demons.
This ruin before me, it burns my eyes. Could I be held responsible? I never believed I could destroy this life. Am I that irresponsible? The choices I've made have led to loss and misery. I'm punished for eternity. A difficult
I was the only hope inside. It was so hard I couldn't.
King Diamond fans out there, I think if you listen closely, you'll hear a similarity between the vocals of Clint, or Tyrant Nathra, as he is known by his nickname, which he says, of course, is not his real name. It's pretty unintentional and also unofficial. And he has a high-pitched, emotional quality to his voice that's similar to that of King Diamond or Rob Halford. Accuracy is the other band Clint is a part of. He is also the lead singer of Legacy Black. From Accuracy's debut, Doorways to Destiny, which was released in the summer of 2019, the lead-off track, Liberation, Control Denied. And before that, two from Clint's other band, Legacy Black. Not your average modern-day metal by any means. Not when you hear choir-like vocals in While All Along. And also we heard Legacy Black, the namesake title track of the band's first EP, also released in the summer of 2019. They are working on a follow-up. This coming Saturday, September 25th, it's Legacy Black along with Fierce Atmospheres, still on a high coming off the release of their brand new full-length Speed of Dreams, which you can now fully stream on Spotify, or you can pick up a physical copy of that. Both those bands at Danvern's Tavern in Justice, 79th just south of Roberts Road. You need the exact address, I'll tell you how to get there because I live only about 15 minutes away from there. Or you can go to fierceatmospheres.com or the Facebook page of Legacy Black. Or No Dust Records, which is the band's record label website based out of Holland. As I mentioned at the top of this podcast, and as this is just about to go live, Metallica surprised many longtime fans, especially many in Chicago who had to scamper in line big time and at the last minute to get wristbands to get into a $20 surprise unannounced show that they played at the Metro. The thing sold out in less than the heartbeat, about 20 minutes. So if you missed out on that, just too short notice to really get down there and headbang with Hetfield and Hammett and Lars. Big event for you industrial music fans will be coming up at Metro this weekend. Cold Waves 9. This three-day industrial rock event kicks off Friday, September 24th, also on the 25th Saturday and the 26th Sunday. A couple of names I'm familiar with, both from my college radio days in the 80s. I'm sure anybody who listened to WLRA back then remembers Front 242 from back around 1988. They're playing on Saturday night, and then Sunday, Stabbing Westward, Chris Hall's band, What Do I Have to Do? Shame, some pretty big hits for them in the mid-90s. They're getting back together just for this event. $50 is what it costs you for all 3 days to get in, $45 in advance, but you must have proof of a COVID vaccination also to gain admittance. That's true for any show at Metro. I'm going to get you ready for Cold Waves 9 with one of the opening acts. Let's go to day one. Pixel Grip, probably the most hard-rocking out of any of the industrial bands, a band who reminds me of Pound of Flesh. 9 years ago, if you listen to the Cat 105.5, Daryl James put it together. He's a touring keyboardist for Ministry, and Al Jorgensen and the band just might call him up again to go on tour. If you've read the latest Illinois Entertainer, Ministry is back. A new album, My House Is My Art, is their first in over a decade. And guess what they're calling their tour to support it? The Delta variant tour. I think that's a big flip of the bird to that latest variant of COVID-19. But you'd have to ask Al Jorgensen about that. And the Ministry date will be October 10th at the Riviera. But a band who pretty much sounds like Pound of Flesh, who actually once was an opening act for Ministry. Pixel Grip, this four-piece has only been around since 2019. And Arena was their latest release. That came out May 21st. And one that truly rocks harder than many of the other 10 tracks, including one called Double Vision, which is not a Foreigner cover. Here's Dancing on Your Grave from Pixel Grip, playing day number one of the 3-day Cold Waves 9 festival on Local Loft. We'll be right back.
I'm losing control. I'm on my mind.
Never in the 32 years since they first got together and released their self-titled debut album have I ever heard Enough's Enough try and remake any of their signature songs. Off the Dissonance album, High sounds very much like New Thing, which was their first single. That was back in the day that Chips Enough and Donnie V were both fronting the band and definitely part of the hair band movement. They looked and dressed the part. And then came a big resurgence and a switch over to power pop. And eventually along the way, Chips Enough was declared the new John Lennon. At least he looked like it. He had the same kind of granny glasses that Lennon wore in the Beatles' heyday. So much has changed. So many different people have been guests. Your Johnny Monaco's, for example. And even Pete Comita. He was once not only both a member of Off-Broadway, but also a member of Cheap Trick. He took over for Tom Peterson, their original bassist, when he first left the band in 1980. Pete Comita was a member of Enough's Enough in their very early period before they even released their self-titled debut album, 2 years, 1987. On the Dissonance album, the band's 12th, Jake E. Lee was a member of the band. Yes, that Jake E. Lee, who in the early to mid-80s was a guitarist for Ozzy. He played in albums like Bark of the Moon and The Ultimate Sin. Such a revolving history around Enough's Enough and how they have connected to other bands. Sadly, Donnie V is not with the band anymore. After a short reunion with Chips Enough in 2018, he left and now is pursuing a solo career once again. So you got Chips Enough bringing up the band and their current lineup this time when they play at Island Lake. Side Outs Bar and Grill opening for famous 80s hair band Tesla. That show Saturday, September 25th. For more details, you can find out on Enough's Enough's Facebook page. Remember how you spell it. E'NUFF, Z'NUFF. Too much or just a little is never enough for Chips Enough. After Liar Palooser was such a huge event, making fun of the biggest and most overexposed festival of them all in any summer in Chicago, Liar's Club is going to rock on with We Kill the Lion. This trio is best known for a mixture of 70s stoner rock, 70s and 80s jam band, Grateful Dead and Fish come to mind, and jazz fusion, some of the greatest moments of Jeff Beck during the mid-70s. And on Friday, September 24th, they co-headline a show with Social Act at Liar's Club. It's a 21 and older show. For more details, you can go to We Kill the Lion's Facebook page. They've pretty much been inactive in the studio since Circle of Stars, their 2017 full-length album, did have a Live at DZ Records EP, but that featured songs from previous albums. But the eclectic rock mixture of We Kill the Lion, and you're bound to hear this one along with many others off the Circle of Stars album Friday Night at Liar's Club. This is Head from We Kill the Lion. We'll be right back. Never before has death metal sounded so heavenly. You gotta look at the music video to believe me on this one. It's the only advanced track so far from the upcoming third full-length album from Chicago death metal trio Withering Soul. Carry On Reflection and its music video looks like the band is playing amongst a surrealistic view of billowing clouds that are zipping by them. They also look like they're playing for St. Peter or practically any resident of the Pearly Gates. And you can pick up the brand new third full-length album from Withering Soul on Friday, September 24th, if you go to Cobra Lounge. They're having an album release show for Last Contact. You'll get to hear all 8 tracks. It's the first album the band has released in 6 years, a follow-up to their second, Adverse Portrait, which they released in June of 2015. So you don't want your career as a prominent member of a local band in the Chicago area or state of Illinois or solo artist to wither away. You got to get yourself recognized, and terrestrial radio can't always do it for you nowadays. Get me Tim Lamping your music in digital form, Wave, MP3, FLAC or AAC, or physical form, CD, vinyl, LP, cassette, or reel-to-reel tape. TimLamp1@yahoo.com or TimCatDJ@gmail.com. If you're sending me something physical, first send me an email. I'll send you a mailing address. This podcast is downloadable, all episodes, on Podbean.com or stream it live through the Podbean app. You talk about a big career jump. No one saw it coming. If you followed The Bishop, the 5-piece band out of Frankfurt, back when they began in 2010, their music, jam band-like, Grateful Dead-ish and Fish-ish at times, rather progressive and psychedelic. Nobody saw it coming in 2014 when they switched and did a rapid musical gear shift to power pop and reinvented themselves as the Bishop's Daredevil Stunt Club with their second album, Rock and Roll Motorcycle Dinosaur. The transformation was complete. It still basically was the same core of the band, including female keyboardist Paulette Bertrand, but nowadays, the band still held together by founding member William Gertz, has compressed itself down to a trio. 5 years ago this week, when I descended upon Reggie's Rock Club and Music Joint to check the band out for the first time, it seemed like nothing had changed. And then I heard the music and immediately thought of the forgotten Canadian power pop band Pursuit of Happiness. When I took in the first show of Bishop's Daredevil Stunt Club and actually got a chance to sit down and talk with them, we end Local Loft episode 192 with that rock back. It's Tim Lamping. Talk soon. Tim Lamping on location for Local Loft. I'm at Reggie's Music Joint. Back in 2010, a band called The Bishop out of Frankfurt. Well, they were The Bishop of Frankfurt, then to shorten their name for The Bishop. And now, a total 360 for Bill Gertz, Dan Passarelli, Paulette Bertrand, Darren Gregg, and Luke Smith. The band is now called The Bishop's Daredevil Stunt Club. Not only has the name changed, the music has as well. I remember a nice progressive, psychedelic jam band sound. Why did you decide on this big change in direction for the band?
I think it was pretty gradual. We've had several, couple LPs, an EP, and I think so it was kind of a gradual change. I don't think there was anything abrupt, but we still have some elements of psychedelic, I suppose, on some songs. There will always be kind of a song that's a bit of a journey musically, a little complex. Most people aren't going to like it. One of the keys is having had Luke Smith join the band in, when did he join? Do you remember?
2011.
Luke has brought kind of a pop sensibility, and we found real common ground in the music that we love.
Would you say like the biggest difference is in the songs you write now as compared to what you did a couple of years ago?
I guess that pop sensibility is probably the big one. We're trying to make things that are listenable but very interesting, trying to gain some traction always with fan base and songs that I guess would be fun to play live.
The progressive part I think is still in there too, is as far as a lot of pop aficionados would say that our songs are a bit too long. You know, a lot of our songs clock in 3-4 minutes long. It's kind of long for a pop song, but that's how we get the progressive. We squeeze that in there, I guess.